Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and then Linda's going to read the second part of the passage. You can find it on page 4 of the service sheets, or if you're going to use one of the church Bibles, it's on page 978, or if you're at home, whatever page it is in your Bible. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Really good to see you all. Congratulations, Rob, Megan. Really, really good to have you guys with us. Very excited to share that with you. Imagine for a minute that it's the middle of the night. You're fast asleep in bed. Kids are as well, warm, cozy, 2 a.m., something like that. And then the next second, you hear this. What'd you do? What'd you do with a fire alarm blaring in your ear in the middle of the night? Do you roll over and go back to sleep? Do you stuff your fingers in your ears or put a pillow over your head and kind of go la, 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 and wait for it to stop? Well, no, of course not. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? You hear the alarm, you get out of bed and go and investigate. Is there a fire? Is the kitchen ablaze? Are the kids okay? Have I checked each room? Is the dog dead? Is the oven on? Is there smoke anywhere? If there's no fire, then you just press that button again, go back to normal, no harm, no foul, roll over and go to sleep. No problem. But if the alarm is right and there is a fire, then by listening and reacting properly, you might well just save your life. And that's what this passage from Matthew's Gospel is all about this morning. It's all about listening. Jesus lays down the point of this parable in verse 9. Have a look with me if you have it open. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And as we read the rest of the passage, that word hear and similar words come up more than 10 times. You know, Jesus is really laboring the point. He's being very deliberate. He doesn't want us to miss it. Are you listening? Now, the passage itself kind of breaks up into two main sections. From verses 1 to 9, Jesus goes down to the lake and tells a parable about a farmer sowing seed. That's the parable, and that's part one. Then from verse 10 onwards, what's implied is that Jesus finishes speaking, the crowd disperse, Jesus gets out of the boat, and then the disciples come and ask Jesus that key question in verse 10. Why do you speak to the people in parables? Jesus then answers that question from verse 11 through to verse 23, and that's part two. And importantly, one of the main things there is that that's a conversation between Jesus and 12 men. You know, the crowd, hundreds, possibly thousands of people have all walked off. So it goes from thousands of people to just 13. So the crowd hear the parable and then leave. And that means they don't hear the explanation to the parable. And they don't hear the answer to Jesus' question either. So that's kind of the overall shape. So two parts to the passage. And the parable contains three key elements. I'm sure you all spotted each of them. There's the farmer, obviously, the seed that he's scattering, and then these soils, these four types of soil, and all of those represent something different. The farmer is quite an easy one, I think. The farmer is Jesus. Have a look at verse 1 again. It says, Jesus went out of the house, got into a boat, and spoke to the crowd. And then in verse 3, it says, Jesus went out of the house and got into a boat and spoke to the crowd. Sorry, then verse 3, that was verse 1, wasn't it? A farmer went out to sow his seed. You see how they're similar? The link is very, very clear. Jesus is the farmer in the parable, and as he stands on that boat in the Sea of Galilee, he is actually doing exactly what the farmer in the parable is also doing. They're both scattering. They're both sowing seed. The farmer with the seed and Jesus with his words. The farmer on the ground and Jesus to the crowd. So if they're both sowing seed and Jesus is the farmer, then what is the seed? What does it represent? We get the answer for that in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom. So the seed is a message, something to hear, to listen to. And that message is that Jesus is God's Son. The message that through trusting him and knowing him, you and I can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life with God forever. The message that this world is not all that there is. The message that God loves people and wants them to be saved. The message that if you trust Jesus, you'll be brought into God's family, like we were thinking about last week. The offer of eternal life, eternal purpose, eternal satisfaction and joy that this world can't even really hope to offer. That's what the message is. So we know who the farmer is, Jesus, tick. We know what the seed is, the message about the kingdom of heaven. Then that leaves the soils, doesn't it? These three types of soil. The path, the rocky places, the thorny soil, and fourthly, the good soil. And they all represent different types of people. Different types of people. Every single person in that crowd that Jesus is speaking to, and every single person here this morning as well, is represented by one of those four types of soil. And they represent how different people listen to and respond to Jesus the farmer and his message. And each one tells us something different about how we need to listen to Jesus. So Jesus wants us to listen up to what he is saying, and the parable gives us three ways that we need to do that. And the first way that Jesus wants us to listen to him is immediately. So firstly, listen to Jesus immediately. Have a look down at verse 4 on your service sheet or in your Bible. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now have a look across at verse 18, where Jesus explains what that means to the disciples. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, I don't know when you last went to feed the ducks in the park. We go fairly regularly, and when we do, we take sunflower seed and, you know, chuck it in the water, chuck it wherever, and the ducks love it, don't they? If you spill your bag of seed on the floor, which, you know, we've done before, you'll be instantly beset upon by a horde of ducks all, you know, quacking and snacking up all that seed. And that's the image here that Jesus is using. You know, if your heart is hard, if you hear this message about Jesus, and frankly, you just don't want to listen, you're not interested, if it just bounces off you, then that message will get snatched away. What faith might have been possible will be impossible, because the message about Jesus has bounced off and been snatched away by the devil, Jesus says. So before that happens, we need to act fast. We need to listen to Jesus immediately. Just like when you hear a fire alarm. When you hear a fire alarm, you don't kind of think about what to do next, do you? You don't pop the kettle on and kind of Google what do you do when the fire alarm goes off. You know, you're instantly there, immediately responding to what you're hearing. And that is what we need to do with Jesus as well, or we run the risk of the opportunity being snatched away. That's what the parable says. Now, when the crowd has left, and it's just Jesus and the disciples, Jesus explains why he talks in parables. And it really links into that kind of listen to Jesus immediately point. Have a look at verse 11. Why do you speak to the people in parables? Jesus replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Now, at first, I think that sounds a little bit unfair, doesn't it? If you don't really have very much, then that'll be taken away, okay? And if you have something, then you'll get given more. Seems a bit strange, but actually it makes perfect sense. Everybody in that crowd, everybody who was there, Jesus, the disciples, he's giving them, the disciples and the crowd, exactly the same thing. But only 12 people seem to want to know more. Everybody else has kind of left. And what's the key to that? Well, the disciples, they come to Jesus. They come to Jesus and they ask, and he tells them more. The disciples and the crowd heard the same message. They're all given the same thing. But the disciples ask for more, so they receive even more. They get even more from Jesus. But the crowd who've just kind of walked away, even what they heard, well, that'll be forgotten, snatched away. Now, often when people think about what being a Christian is, they think it's kind of people sat in churches like this, it's kind of a bit echoey, a bit cold in winter, kind of reading Bibles, maybe trying to do some good things, good people trying to avoid getting drunk or swearing and doing things like going to church and getting baptized, and that's fine. It's great that Penny's been baptized this morning, and Rob and Megan, congratulations, sorry, you're kind of hidden by the pillar, can't quite see you. But actually, Penny being baptized doesn't make her a Christian. Being baptized doesn't make anyone a Christian, because being a Christian isn't about stuff that we do or say on the outside. Being a Christian is about who we know, not what we know. Being a Christian is about coming to Jesus. And because the disciples know Jesus, because they listen to him and follow him and love him, they know him not because of what they do, but because of who they know and who they follow. It's a bit of a spoiler alert, really, isn't it? The disciples are that fourth type of soil. They're the good soil. Jesus carries on from verse 13 with another quote from the Old Testament. In them, referring to the crowd who've just wandered off after hearing the parable, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, that otherwise line is using the word otherwise in a kind of if only. You know, if only people would listen, if only people would look and see and understand what I'm saying, then they'd turn to me and I would heal them. Jesus is saying that the crowd are just like that. They're hearing, but they're not listening. They're seeing, but they're not looking. They all heard what the disciples heard and they've wandered off, none the wiser. The disciples, on the other hand, in verses 16 and 17, give those a quick scan. Jesus says they're blessed. Now, they've seen and heard and grasped what people for hundreds of years hoped to see but couldn't. They've come to Jesus and they've listened. So the parable's clear. Don't delay. If this is news for you, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, it's really great that you're here. I hope you feel really, really welcome with us. Then this parable says that you need to listen to what Jesus is saying. If you investigate and you find out it's not true, then you've lost nothing. Just like the fire alarm going off, you go around, check the house, no problems, press the button, go back to bed, no harm, no foul. But if what Jesus says is true, if it's true, then it can change your whole life for an eternity. Surely the benefits outweigh the risks on that one. So Jesus tells us then to listen immediately or we'll miss the opportunity. The second way the passage tells us to listen to Jesus then is to listen to Jesus deeply. Listen to Jesus deeply. Have a look at the rocky soil with me. Have a look at verse 5. Some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. And they withered because they had no root. And verse 20, where Jesus explains what that means. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. The person Jesus is referring to here is someone who hears the message at the kingdom of heaven, and is immediately excited. They're ecstatic. They can't wait to share that with anyone and everyone who will listen. They're the kind of enthusiastic, bubbly, new Christian. It's new and it's really exciting. But then after a little while, they start getting left out of things. Their friends stop talking to them as much. They get branded as a little bit of a weirdo, a bit of a Jesus freak. Or maybe more seriously than that, they take a stand at work for something they think is not right. And suddenly their career or their job looks like it's in jeopardy. Or they tell a long-standing friend or family member about Jesus who gets horribly offended and ostracizes them entirely. Under the heat of persecution for their newfound faith, they get scorched because the root doesn't go down deep. And they wither and their faith dies because the root's shallow and they walk away from Jesus. I'm sure those of us who've been Christians for a little while will have seen that happen a number of times over. So what's the answer then? What's the answer? How can you be sure, if you're a Christian here this morning, you're feeling a bit worried about that, how can you be sure that when persecution comes, you won't be scorched and you won't wither? Well, the answer to that is to listen to Jesus deeply. That's the answer, and actually that's all we need to put our roots down deep. You know, don't settle for a shallow or superficial relationship with Jesus and the Bible. Home groups in the middle of the week run on weeknights, They're a great way for us to get to know Jesus better, more deeply. If you're not in a home group, I'd really encourage you to speak to James or to Shell, and I'm sure they'll get you organized into one. It's just an opportunity, really, with a few other Christians to look at the Bible, about how does that affect me personally this week. It's a great way for us together, corporately, to grow in our deepness in Jesus and to put our roots down deeper and deeper. And then when that scorching heat comes, which many of us will know well, even though we do get burned, we get singed, we get our leaves cut off and kind of steamrolled flat, even when you've been completely and entirely flattened, then we'll not be destroyed because your roots deeply in Jesus and he will hold you fast. So, listen to Jesus deeply. Thirdly and finally then, listen to Jesus exclusively. Listen to Jesus exclusively. Let's look at the thorny soil. Have a look at verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And verse 22, Jesus' explanation to the disciples. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jeff Bezos is a household name, isn't he? Is it Bezos or Bezos? Anyone know? I never really know, so let's go with Bezos. Jeff is a, you know, CEO, founder of Amazon, and he's the richest man in the world. I'm sure lots of us have seen headlines about him over the last year or so. Right now, Jeff's fortune is about $180 billion. In 2020 alone, just over the last financial year, Jeff made around $117 billion. According to Forbes, he made $321 million a day, which is $222,900 a minute, which is about $3,715 per second. So Jeff makes in 10 seconds what the average American or British worker makes in 1 year. But even that is nothing. If you go back a little bit further, John D. Rockefeller, the American oil tycoon, had a staggering fortune that eclipsed even that. Today it would have been worth $423 billion. About 16% of the UK's economy, kind of owned by one guy. I can't even really compute that amount of money. It's bonkers, isn't it? Yeah. Where'd you put that in your piggy bank? Now, I'm going to hazard a guess that what's going on in a few minds, if not all minds, in the room right now is the same thing that happened to me when I was looking at those figures online. You kind of start thinking, oh, that sounds quite nice, actually. Yes, please. I'll have a little bit of that pie. I don't quite need $423 billion, but, you know, something close would kind of do just fine. And you know, when, I'm sure lots of us will know this, but when John Rockefeller was asked, how much money is enough? He answered, always just a little bit more. And that's it, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter if you've got $423 billion, $423,000, or just £4.23 like most people. The answer in our heart is always the same, isn't it? Always just a little bit more. Either it's a bigger bank balance, it's a better job, it's more stuff, a nicer car, a nicer house, a house on the nice side of Ashton, as Joe puts it. Now, whether you're rich or poor, whether you've got savings or you're in debt, money promises a security that it can't deliver. It doesn't matter how much we do or don't have, the promise is the same. It either deceives us into thinking it's got us safe if we have an abundance, or the lack of it makes us worried and anxious. Now, there's nothing wrong with money in itself. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus says that the worries of this life, our relationships, jobs, family pressures, and particularly wealth, money, can distract us. And if you're not careful, the deceitfulness of wealth, that it can deliver safety or happiness or completeness or joy, that deceit can strangle your faith by taking your eye off Jesus and putting it on your wallet instead. And that's why we need to listen to Jesus exclusively. We're Christians this morning. Jesus promises eternal life, eternal joy, eternal forgiveness of sin, and eternity with God in heaven forever. But if you turn up to heaven's gates, and if you say when you're dead, hi God, can I come in? I've got $423 billion in my bank account at home. You can have it if you like. Then you will be horribly disappointed to learn that your money, the stuff that we get here, is worth nothing more than twigs and leaves to God. It's useless and worthless. It promises a security that it cannot deliver. not a bad thing in itself, but you cannot love both God and money. You can't be devoted to both at the same time. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, and don't let your money, whether your lack of it or abundance of it, take your eyes and ears off listening and looking to Jesus. Don't be deceived. Listen to Jesus exclusively. Now, I think if we do all of those things, if you listen to Jesus immediately, deeply, exclusively, I think that that means that we're like the good soil, because we're listening to Jesus. And if we're good soil, then we're in a blessed position because we know Jesus. We have a relationship with God through him. And Jesus says, if that's the case, then that leads to growth. It leads to growth individually, and it leads to growth corporately as well. It leads to the growth of the kingdom of heaven, which in other words is other people coming to know Jesus too. Have a quick look down at verse 8 with me. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. And the explanation to the disciples again in verse 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Now the important thing here is not the amount, not those figures. The point of those is that it's a lot. Now, even getting a crop yield of 30 would be considered staggering when Jesus is telling this parable. And specifically, the crop in the parable of the sower represents that growth of God's kingdom, people becoming Christians. And as Christians, we're called to learn from Jesus, to learn from Jesus and follow his example and be sowers as well. Jesus has sown that seed to us, and now we sow the same seed to others in Ashton, Preston, the rest of the world. Now, in the church in the West, we kind of have a bit of a model of evangelism which tends to focus around friendship, which is good. If I become friends with him or her, and then after a little while, the conversation will eventually come round, and then I can talk to them about Jesus and the gospel. And there's merit to that, but I wonder if we as a church could do with analysing that just a little bit. It's a very calculated and very careful approach to evangelism. But if you look at the farmer, read back through the parable again at home, just look at the way he sows that seed. It's kind of indiscriminate, really. He just does it almost recklessly, radically, throwing that seed in a thorn bush. I mean, who sows seed in a thorn bush? Farmers would be, their heads would be spinning listening to this. But he throws it anywhere. He lovingly and liberally spreads that message wherever he goes. I think there's a bit of a challenge to us as a church to think about, kind of in the scope of our 10-year review, to learn from Jesus a bit more about how to sow that seed. Be a bit more radical, a bit more reckless, a bit more liberal, and a bit more loving in the way we tell others the gospel. So let's listen to Jesus immediately, deeply, exclusively, and let's learn from Jesus what it is to then in turn sow that seed, spread that message of the kingdom of heaven, Ashton, Preston, and ultimately the end of the earth. Let's pray together, and then James will come back up. Father, we thank you very much that Jesus is the sower. Thank you that he has brought that message of the kingdom of heaven to us. Thank you that through trusting him, knowing him, listening to him, that we can have an eternal relationship with you forever. I pray that you would help us this morning, wherever we are in that kind of step of faith, to listen to you immediately, deeply, and exclusively, and that we would bear fruit for you and for your kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.